Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the service. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you because you are going to speak to us, speak to our mind, speak to our heart, encourage us, and let us feel the warmth and the goodness that comes from your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to speak today on a topic that is really close to my heart. And this is God's covering, or the covering of the Lord, which you can call it an atonement, or in today's word would be the blood of Jesus. Be using a scripture that might sound a little bit harsh and off topic, but is really relevant. Revelation 2:14. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice Israelites to sin. So they ate food, sacrificed to idols, and committed sexual immorality. Now, when we go back to look at the story of Balak and how he was sent to go and curse the children of Israel, to me, this is a very interesting and a very touching story. So you know very well we have these children of Israel. You know, God is using them. Here they are, they come to Moab, and the king of Moab is terrified. He doesn't know what to do. He literally says, these people are too powerful. We cannot fight them. Balaam, can you come and curse them for us? They are too powerful. And Balaam inquires of the Lord, and he tells them, no, I cannot come. And Balak is so terrified. Like, I will do anything. I will do anything. Please come. Please don't let anything hinder you. Please come. Now, the Bible does not clearly say this, but if you read other scriptures, you realize that Balaam was actually enticed with everything that King Balak was to give. And I've been reading a book, Angels on Assignment. I don't know how many people have read that book. It's a very interesting book. It's about this preacher from Idaho who was visited by angels. And the angels would come and tell, okay, I'm Gabriel, I'm Michael. I'm going to tell you something. You remember the story when the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea? We were the one who were untightening those. We threw the fires of Baal, and we were untightening those wheels of the Egyptians so that they could not cross. And they would say real stories. They would tell him a story and refer to the Bible. So in the story here, I got an extraction where they were saying that the angel was actually with Balaam to make sure that Balaam will not say anything against the Israelites. So God knows very well that we can be tempted, but God was not leaving anything unattended to make sure that the children of Israel will not be cursed. And according to this book, he say, you guys don't understand. God does not look at us the way we look at ourselves. He looks at us differently. When I'm looking at you, I'm like, man, you just abused me. God is not looking at you like that. And he said another place. So he was shown the record of Abraham. And he's looking at Abraham like, but Abraham lied that Sarah was his sister. It's not in the record here. Yeah, it's not there. Where is it? No, it's been erased. It's not in the record anymore. I only have good deeds. And the devil is always going to God and accusing brethren. I'm like, and God is like, what are you saying? He's righteous. Eh? Because when you repent, he forgives you and forget. And he quotes the scripture that say that our sins has been blotted from us. Just the way east is far from west, so our sins have been far removed from us. And he says that that is how God looks at us. So when you are there feeling low, when you are there feeling, oh man, look at this, like, God, I'm sorry, I've been doing this all the time. God is like, what are you saying about? I don't remember that. I don't remember you've been doing it. You, when you repent, your sins are gone. So we have these children of Israel getting victory after victory. Everything going well for them. We have Balaam, who has been told, go curse them. And Balaam is on the way with his donkey, and that, and the angel say, enough is enough, Balaam. And stand before the donkey, and Balaam cannot go anymore. And Balaam start beating the donkey, and the donkey speaks. And God opened the eyes of Balaam, and he sees the donkey, the angel, and the angel says, if it was not for your donkey, I could have killed you. And Balaam is terrified. And then the donkey, the angel gives the Balaam a stern warning. Go, but do only what God tells you to do. Because I know for some reason he might have been tempted to do contrary, but God was not going to let that happen. Why? Because he loved the children of Israel. Why? Because God had a covering on the children of Israel, an atonement, and nothing was going to harm them. So Balaam goes in and he goes to inquire of the Lord. And when I was reading this book, say the angel literally say they were kind of like literally turning the tongue of Balaam to bless. And then Balaam come and say, I called you to curse my enemies. You blessed them. And Balaam is like, you know, I told you I'm going to say only what the Lord told me to do. And he's frustrated, but he is not giving up. The enemy is not giving up. He knows that he's a loser. He's not giving up. He tells him, no, you know what? Let's go and you will just see them partially. See whether you can curse them for me. And I love this part of the scripture. God is not human. That is Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. No, God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak, then he doesn't act? Does he promise and he doesn't fulfill? God does not change his mind. He said, go. Bless them. It doesn't matter how much the enemy will go round and round. He say, you are blessed, you are blessed. We know very well the enemy can just try to slow the work of God, can just try to interfere, but he is not going to be victorious. Sometimes you feel depressed, whatever is going on, and you know you're under attack. But be rest assured, the enemy is not going to win. You know why? I was reading this book again. It's a very encouraging book. It talks about a great network of angels and the Holy Spirit, what the Bible calls the host of heaven around us. It's sending messages. Whenever there is something happening to a children of God, they're going to send angels to come and contend. And that's why the Bible says God is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And sometimes when we pray in the spirit with groaning that cannot be uttered, we are actually praying the language of the angels. See, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, I cannot change it. No misfortune is seen in Jacob. No misery observed in Israel. Like God is not seeing misfortune in you. He's not seeing miseries in you. He's not seeing anything wrong in you. So finally, Balak has to send Balaam away. The mission was not accomplished because God stood his ground and said, no way, you cannot. By all means, you cannot curse the children of Israel. Look at that seal. It's sealed, totally sealed. You cannot. Brothers and sisters, as long as we stay in the Lord, there is nothing, there's no harm, there's no weapon fashioned against us that will prosper. The enemy will come in seven directions, in one direction, and flee in seven directions. When you read the book of Revelation, it talks about the teachings of Balaam. So Balaam go back to Balak and tells him, you know the best way to do is to entice the children of Israel. So they use the women of Moab and they entice the children of Israel and they go in to drink sexual immorality and idolatry. And Balaam tells Balak, and God himself is going to destroy the children of Israel. And the plan succeeds. That is the sad part of the story. That the children of Israel did not realize the covering that was on them. Even after God going to a great extent to protect and help them, still they screwed it up. And the disaster struck their camp. And the Bible say 23,000, get that right, fell in one day. 24,000 fell in one day. Although God brought up an intervention to help them out because God is gracious. But the harm had been done because the enemy looked for a different way to entice the children of Israel. Now, when I was reading this, I realized there are a number of things that can interfere with that covering of the Lord, with that anointing, with that blood of Jesus. One is rebellion. When we rebel against God, when we go again when we go our own way and we don't care about God, stubbornly following our own way. The Bible says these blessings will follow those that obey. But those that do not obey, the curses are there. Although God has provided repentance, like if we realize that we have gone our way that is not correct, and we repent, the covering is back on us. And the way this explains it is like we literally walk away out of that covering. When we are disobeying, we are idolatry and sexual immorality and all those things that the Bible talks about. So we are kind of walking away from that covering. But when we obey and our heart is yielded on Jesus, this does not mean that sometimes, you know, we have all these things that we do. I'm like, oh my God, I don't believe I did this. That's not a problem because your heart is still leaning on Jesus. You're still obedient. It's easy for you to go back and say, God, forgive me. You know, stuff like that. You are covered. You are good. The enemy will come and accuse you. But you need to tell the enemy, God rebuke you, Satan. But we are talking about, and you know when I'm talking about, people who have walked away from the faith and they have gone all the way to do whatever they want to do. And they feel like, yeah, I'm free. They want to free themselves from God. They want to do things that upsets God. They want to rebel and they don't want anything to do with God. They just moved out of that covering. But that does not mean that God does not love them. Still, we have angels and we have powers all over the world that are bringing these people back to God. I was reading the other day about Justin Bieber, the musician, that he canceled all her trips to attend a Hill Church meetings. I'm like, God is doing something with this guy, you know. And as much as he's having all the fames and everything, I'm sure not all is right. I mean, the Holy Spirit, like the power of God, is actually moving. Because I was so interested to read about, because I'm not a fan of him, but when I saw that, I'm like, what is going on here? And I found out that he actually grew up in church. And here he is, he's canceling all these trips. And everyone is upset, but he's hanging out with this pastor. So that just tells us the kind of work God is doing in our life. That even when we walk away, God does not leave us. He still will stretch his arm to bring us back because he does not want us to walk away from his grace. But those are the kind of things that takes the covering away, that makes us to walk away from that covering. But when you are in the covering, you are covered. The blood of Jesus is over you. When the enemy goes to accuse you before the Lord say, I'm not seeing that. I am seeing the love of God. I'm seeing the blood of Jesus. It's covered. He's the Son of God. I'm not seeing all those kind of things. The enemy is frustrated. So the children of Israel, began to indulge in sexual immorality with the Moabites' women, who invited them to sacrifice to their gods. And the people ate sacrificial meals and bowed down before the gods. So Israel yoked themselves to Baal Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. And those who died in the plague were numbered 24,000. So this story is reminding us that God requires obedience from us, obedience of the word. In fact, when I was reading all this thing, and I was also reading the book. It was talking about angels on assignment, that God desires us to feed on the Word. And he was saying that the Word of God is backed by angels, is backed by the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Bible. We can sit here and argue about the Bible and everything. And then this guy said the angels came and told him, you know what? You know, when I tell you something from God is the truth, there's no argument. It's the truth. You know, there's something that has come in America, philosophy, and tells you there is no absolute truth. That's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie. And that's why our society is what it is. Because we don't know the truth anymore. And that's why you see in the White House, there's a lot of chaos, there's alternative facts and all those kind of stuff. Because no one believes what is true, because everything can be questioned. But the Word of God, that he tells you, this is what it is. God knows. We don't. God sees everything that is happening. When he tells you something, he knows. So the angels are like, okay, when we tell you the truth, this is the truth. No argument. And they don't care if you argue or not. If you know something is true and someone is telling you, no, it's not, you look at him like, okay, what's the big deal? It is true. You know, this is the truth and this is what it is. So it's like, okay, don't argue with God. God requires that obedience. He tells you, I want you to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You do not have all the facts. Those who've been in the military know that. That if they send you for a mission, you don't ask for more information. You just go. And it's like the kingdom of God has been organized like the military, with captains and people in ranks and the command, chain of command and so on. You are given an order to go. Go do it. You don't even question. You just go do it. And that's how God is. He gives you a command and he tells you, I want you to go and do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he talks about this guy who was told to go and do a mission and he did not go. So he's driving on the highway and the angel come and sit beside him like, we send you to go and do this mission. He did not. And like, okay, so I'm afraid. And would you like to go and do it for me? Like, no. The Lord does not accept angels to do that. You have to go and do it yourself. And the angel leaves and goes. So God knows why he's telling us to obey, because he knows how limited we are. He knows how the limitations and what we can see. You remember the good story about Elisha and his servant Gehazi. Gehazi comes and tells Elisha, you know what, we are surrounded. And Elisha prays to God and tell God, please open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he see the legion of angels around him. He was not seeing that. Because if you can see the backup you have, if you can know who is telling you, who is telling you to go and do what, you will go gladly go and do, because he has a backup for you. He has a backup for you. And that's why the Bible is full of interesting stories. One of the best stories that I was reading was about the wall of Jericho. And I'm forgetting the name of that angel according to that book. He said, we were literally commanded to go and take our positions on the wall. And there was an angel specifically around Rahab. So he was told to hold that wall, not to fall. But the rest of them were like, you're going to wait when Joshua and the team blows the trumpet the seventh time. Go ahead, pull that wall down. So the Bible talks about the wall went down, because whoever was writing that did not see angels. But in the spiritual world, we had a legion of angels doing that job. And this is the guy, it's like, oh, do you remember during that wall of Jericho? Yeah, I was actually the commander, and I was doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you read the Word of God, it tells us that it's only the house of Rachel and the wall, I don't know, whatever, over there that never fell down. But the rest of it went on the ground. So we do not need to have enough information or argue with our human minds. God is God. He said it, he is going to do it. He says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 12, you have seen it well. I am following my word to make sure that it fulfills what I have sent it to do. So when the Lord tells you, he knows, he has his purpose to make sure that that word is going to be fulfilled. So here he is, you know, we have all the walls going down, and he talks about, well, you know, when was this, when the Joshua was fighting, I think they were the Moabites, I don't remember. But then God saw that these people are getting tired. And he sent the angels, and they get hailstones. And they start fighting with the hailstones. And the Bible say those people that were killed by hailstones were more than what Joshua killed. And I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the Bible, I'm like, this is true. I mean, you read the Bible and you read this story and like, yeah, now it's making sense. What was going on that time when Joshua prayed and the sun stood still? You know, you can argue because now we say that the sun is still and the, you know, whatever, but that's what is written in the Bible. And then God hewed hailstones on the enemy. And this angel is saying, we are actually the one who are commanded by God. And we killed more people than what Joshua. Because God is looking at Joshua and his people like they're getting tired. They need help here. They need assistance. They need reinforcement. It's like, you know, American forces, you know, going to assist Iraq forces to make sure that, you know, ISIS is defeated. That it has to be defeated. So we are going to do anything. We are going to provide air power, we are going to provide advice, we are going to provide all these things to make sure that they are defeated, because we cannot let them continue. So if we take this message and we put it together with the message of Terry Vaga that we are at war, and it's us to choose to fight, because if you don't fight, we lose. But if we fight, God is going to give us his power with us. And we literally going to win. So it's up to us, one, to ask God to help us to be obedient on his word. Two, read, feed on the word. Feed on the word. Even when you don't feel like, do it anyway. Three, pray. Make sure that there's that communication going on. Worship. Talks about praise and worship. And like, well, you know, we really enjoy that praise and worship. He says at one point, you know, he had all these angels. Like, no, it's the time to praise and worship. We are not doing anything. And they were showing him how they praise and worship in heaven. Yeah, like, yes, let's praise and worship because God is happy when we do that. And that's when the Lord commands his angels to come around us. And so, praise, worship, prayer, read the word. You know, and he talks about, you know, when you pray for your loved ones to get saved, God has heard. The best thing to do is stop bugging God and praise God because he's sending angels. He's going to make sure that they're taking all the stumbling blocks around and making sure the situation that will make that person to be born again. Because the angels are at work. They're going to make sure that this person will get to a point whereby he's going to receive Jesus. So sometimes we just have to, by faith, say, thank you, God, because he's born again. And we just praise and rejoice. So there is a need of praising and rejoicing. And let's remember that God has a covering on our life. He's not going to let us go. He's not going to let the angel, the enemy hurt us because he loves us with everlasting love. And now we are rest assured to go in the battlefield and fight that war that we know we are going to win. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you strengthen our feeble knees. You give us a spirit of prayer. When we don't feel like prayer, we will pray that the Holy Spirit will quicken our hearts, that we will feed on your word. We will rejoice and enjoy prayer. We'll be woken up early in the morning or any time, and we will pray than how we have prayed before. And we will be aware of what you are doing in our life. And the Holy Spirit will quicken our hearts, that we will follow you without questioning and obey your word and rejoice and praise and rejoice in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.